I don't buy the idea that, you know, the society the way it is right now, it has to be this way.
Welcome to Rewrite the Rules with your host, Alex Starr.
So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality.
It's time to live life on your own terms.
What do you really want?
Welcome, everybody, to a new fresh episode of Rewrite the Rules, where you hear stories and mindsets and lifestyles from people that are living life on their own terms so that you can do the same. Today's guest is Alex Strenger. He is a character, as you're going to soon find out. He is on the ballot, officially on for the mayor of Austin, and he's running a campaign that is has a dash of trolling in it to bring to light important issues, which you will soon discover. He's a little bit like in the politician mode at the beginning, and then we get into a whole slew of things about life, and then we actually end up shooting the shit for over an hour, even after the podcast was done. So, really interesting guy. Had a great time recording this with him. I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. As always, you can find me at alexstarr.com. Leave a review on iTunes. It'd be much appreciated. Subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it. I have a lot of cool things coming out. Going to be doing a rebrand, getting a studio open soon. So big things coming. Much love to everyone. Hope the fall is coming along nicely. I know it's getting cold here in Austin finally. It's a good time to kind of transition and figure out some new things to do. So hope everyone's doing well and enjoy this show.
How's
welcome, welcome to the podcast, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. Now we're going. Alex Strenger. Pronounce your last name.
Alex Strenger.
Strenger.
Yes.
Alex Strenger. All right, man. So we are here, and you got the mayor belt on. You got the suit and tie. You got the handlebar mustache. And we're here to talk about politics and social issues in Austin and your run for mayor.
Exactly, Alex. And you know, I'm glad you pointed out the mayor belt. The reason I'm wearing this belt is because I'm currently ahead in the polls, and I plan on keeping this belt for the next 8 years.
So what's up? Why'd you decide to run for mayor? What's up?
There are a lot of social and economic injustices taking place here in Austin, and I'll put it this way. There's nobody better able to address these issues than me.
How come?
Well, I drive a pedicab for a living, and as a result of driving a pedicab in downtown Austin, I am the only candidate with a constant and direct interaction with the citizens of our great city, and therefore I have a better understanding into what the people truly want.
Okay. So what is it? What do they want? What are you experiencing? How long have you been in Austin for, by the way?
I've been here over 5 years. You know, okay, I moved here from New York, and I moved from New York because of how expensive and congested
New York was.
Yes, how expensive and congested New York City was, and I regrettably see Austin moving in that same direction at an uncomfortably rapid rate.
You're talking about kind of like the apartments that we're in right now. Just a lot of new stuff popping up, a lot of new people moving in, congestion in the streets. What else?
Well, that's exactly what's happening is congestion in the streets, unaffordability. They're trying to make Austin an extremely dense city. And then they go and try to say that it's good for the environment and it's good for sustainability and development and whatnot. And, you know, there's a point because sprawl is not, you know, sprawl is definitely not good for the environment, and having people, you know, have to depend on a motor vehicle constantly is also has certain environmental hazards and whatnot. But when you try to congesting everybody into a confined space also has a lot of harmful consequences. Especially since we're not really doing anything to help with our traffic situation. You know, what we're doing primarily is we're just literally stacking and packing people into tiny apartment units. And that doesn't seem like it's going to help. It's probably going to create more congestion, create more traffic, put more carbon footprints into the air, especially with companies like Uber and Lyft returning. And they don't regulate or fingerprint their drivers. The people who drive for these companies wind up making below minimum wage after, you know, their expenses are taken out. So it just seems like we're being sold a bag of shit, for lack of a better word.
There you go. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think the root reason is for that? Like, what do you think the cause is of all that? Money? You think it's business?
I think it's a lot of it has to do with business. I think that over half of the council's planning commission is tied to the real estate and development industry. You know, and these are the same people who are instituting our new land code, our city council. And have you heard of Code Next?
Mm-mm.
So Code Next was based off the Imagine Austin plan. And the Imagine Austin plan was a plan devised in 2012 to address our rapid growth and how we're going to accommodate and fix our rapid growth and how we're going to develop for the future as a result of the changes that Austin is experiencing. And Code Next stemmed from that. And Code Next is basically a 1,500-page land code, which, first of all, that's a red flag in and of itself, because anything that's 1,500 pages related to land is going to have mixed and confusing languages and convoluted languages. And a document that big is going to have a lot of loopholes, meaning that developers are going to very easily be able to ignore certain laws and parameters, you know, designed to make Austin more affordable and less congested and have less traffic. There are going to be a lot of ways to overlook those laws and create loopholes and whatnot. The language is so confusing that, you know, the majority of the council can't even understand what's in Code Next, let alone like a common citizen.
Or the time to read it. Man, a fucking 1,500-page booklet. Like, who is going to have the time to read that?
Exactly. Who is going to have time to read that? Unless the only person who's reading that is somebody who has something to gain from that passage being implemented so that they can start quoting things that are like positive in regards to it.
Right.
That's a problem.
So how do you, I mean, so let's say you get into office, how are you going to stop all those types of like lobbyists and all those money interests? How are you going to stop them from infiltrating the city? Because that's the big question, right? I feel like that's what you always hear that from politicians. Like, once I get in, it's going to change. And like, to me, it's like the system, you know? So
well,
what's up?
Here's a real source of comfort for you, Alex, all right? And something you and everybody else in Austin should feel really good about is the fact that none of these lobbyists or developers have offered me a penny throughout my campaign, meaning that I owe them nothing. And, you know, look, you can't really make – these things are not like foolproof – you know, it's not a foolproof thing where you could say, yeah, I'm going to stop all corruption and all lobbyists from entering the city, right? But I can make sure that a lot of these companies pay their fair share of taxes if you're going to build on city-owned land. And we have a problem giving away city land to large companies who don't pay property taxes. And 40% of our tax revenue on property tax revenue on city-owned land goes to affordable housing units. And we're like 2+ years behind our affordable housing unit goal. And then they're trying to pass a $250 million affordable housing bond that we have to pay for. And you know, it's only $60 like a year off your property taxes, right? But that's an increase, you know what I mean? And like, there are other bonds and measures that are gonna be implemented as well
that are gonna be in the service of the businesses instead of the people.
And look, I support the bond, and I support the fact that we need more affordable housing units. But A, we have to figure out what affordable housing means, because if large, you know, if companies like Google and Facebook start coming into Austin, and they're even trying to get Amazon to come here, right? Which, when I get elected, that conversation's off the table. And if I were the current mayor, I would not even try to write a proposal to get Amazon here. We do not need Amazon.
I agree with that. Yeah, they want that giant headquarter up north.
Yeah. And you know they're not paying their fair share of taxes. They don't even pay taxes to the state. Like, they charge a sales tax on their service to the people that covers the state taxes.
So where did you when was the moment that you decided you wanted to run for fucking mayor? Where you were like, you know what, I'm going to do that. What was that moment?
It was kind of a process, but I really started to get upset about how things were done here in Austin once Uber and Lyft came back.
How come?
Because they started, to be honest, they started cutting into my income.
Okay, there you go.
You know what I mean? Like, they started to cut into my income. They cut into my friend's income. It was a lot harder for me to earn a living. And a big reason why I moved to Austin is because I want to have a healthy work-life balance. I want to one day be able to have kids and a family and become a suburban dad. And, you know, when a company or a group of companies come into a region and disrupt an entire industry without showing any respect for the city, it is my job as a concerned citizen to stand up and address these issues. I mean, this is why we live in the United States, is so that you can actually be a person who speaks up for what you're upset about.
And so, like, that was like the entryway to the rest of the like issues that you started to see.
Well, yeah, and so then like a few months later, there was the Women's March, and I decided to say that I was running for mayor, and I was wearing a Dan Bilzerian shirt, and I made a video. Not really sure what was going to happen, but I just made the video just for fun, and I got a really positive reaction. Like I got over 1,000 people saw the video, and I don't really pay for my stuff to get viewed. Like I believe in just having everything be organic and natural, because I think that if people like something, they like it.
Just like this energy drink that we're drinking, organic. Right,
it is organic.
It's delicious.
Guru Energy. Buy yourself a can. You will get amped.
You will get fucking
pumped. In a good way. Yeah. I'm already amped. I already get amped when I talk about the social injustices of Austin, but now I'm extra amped.
Now you're extra amped with ready the guru on your
real,
side.
Ready to make real changes.
Yeah, there we go, dude.
Thank you, guru.
So what's how much of this, because when you're putting on a shirt like that Dan Bilzerian shirt, how much of this is like a... like trolling in order to kind of make your mark. You know what I mean?
Let's get back to what happened though, right?
Okay,
let's get
cool.
back to how this unfolded. So I made the video. I got a really positive response. And so in the back of my mind, I thought to myself, okay, you're going to have to come back to this. And the feedback I got was so positive that it was just like, all right, you probably should run and file a campaign treasury report. However, at the time that I made that video, I was getting ready for Golden Gloves. So, you know, the primary focus on hand at the time was boxing. And when you have a fight to get ready for, or any kind of like intense athletic competition, that requires a lot of energy and focus. And one of the cornerstones I believe towards being successful at something is to have single-minded focus on an issue. And, you know, if you have something that you want to do, that's what you got to focus on firsthand. Address one problem at a time. Don't try to, you know, do everything at once, because then you do nothing and you feel like shit about yourself. That's pretty much the long and short of it. So I did that, right? Did Golden Gloves. Went to Houston. There was a rodeo in Houston. So I went and pedicabbed the rodeo for like a couple weeks. I go back to Austin and I made a Facebook post. And the post said, to all my friends in the service industry, South by Southwest is around the corner. There'll be many people from out of state visiting, specifically California. And it is your job as Austinites to provide these people with as awful of an experience as possible so that they do not move here. Charge people double, give them wrong directions, take them to the Arch, which is the homeless shelter on East 7th Street, if they want to buy drugs. Your choices are limitless. Be the change you wish to see in the world. Namaste. And
that's what you posted.
That's what I posted, and that post went viral. Like
yeah, no shit,
7,000 people shared it.
No way.
And it got
sense.
The post made the statement. I did an interview on K-View. I told them that I was planning on running for mayor. They cut that part out because K-View is a fake news station and they don't report on the real issues. That's another story. But yeah, that's how it started, and the support I got for my progressive agenda really started to catapult. And, you know, I realized that this was, I'm going to say this, Alex, I don't really want to be mayor. I need to be mayor for the sake of our citizens.
That's a fucking tagline right there.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah. So then what's so like with all the, like the build the dome, I keep the Californians out and stuff like that, which is a fucking great social, like, I don't know what to call it. Like social movement kind of thing to get people. Don't you have shirts that's like,
I do have
hashtag build the dome.
I do have build the dome t-shirts.
Yeah. 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 So tell me about, build the dome and like the story behind that with Californians. Well, like me,
you know, look, we're building a dome around the city in order to get rid of the Californians so that Austin can one day be affordable to the locals and we will no longer have a traffic problem. And this stems from the fact that a lot of California companies come to Austin and feel as though they can bypass many of the local laws, rules, and ordinances that other companies have no problems following, such as the soccer stadium. Have you heard about the soccer stadium? So we're getting an ML.
Oh, I have heard rumors of that, yes. Oh,
okay.
I don't know any details about it.
Regrettably,
you're a little more involved in that scene than I am. All right,
so regrettably, there's a chance that we are going to have a Major League Soccer team next year. And the owner, and it's actually the Columbus Crew is moving to Austin, the owner of the Columbus Crew, named Anthony Precourt, trust fund baby, absentee owner, kind of from a financial standpoint, ran the Columbus Crew into the ground. And he comes to Austin, negotiates with the current, soon-to-be former mayor, behind the city's back, behind the city of Columbus's back, I believe even behind the MLS's back, for over a year about trying to bring the Crew to Austin. And the owner, Anthony Prequa, I saw the little belch, but anyway, the owner refuses to pay property taxes. Like, part of the agreement, right, part of the terms within the agreement that the council voted 7-4 yes, is that Precourt is not paying property taxes, and the rent that he's paying, and the only reason he's even paying rent, because originally he was going to lease the land for $1 a year, the only reason he's even paying rent is because of the ridiculous amount of pressure that was levied onto the council by concerned citizens like myself and a few other concerned council members, namely Leslie Poole and Allison Alter, heroes. So that's why that happened, but you know, you negotiated a deal on city-owned land that was like the prime spot for affordable housing, and you just gave it away to a soccer owner for like a fraction of the cost. And guess where he's from? San Francisco.
I was going to say California, I would imagine, yeah.
What
about the Californians that are here? Can we stay?
I mean, how long have you been here?
18 months.
You might have to leave, dude. I'm sorry.
But it's okay. I meant five years, dude.
But look, man.
What about New Yorkers?
Well, let's address the California situation first. A lot of the Californians who come here, they try to impose their California ways onto the great.
Are you talking about my flip flops over there in the corner?
Those are very nice flip flops.
Are you talking about my Buddha right here on the laptop?
Let's talk about
the Guru energy drink that we're drinking.
The Guru is great, but from New York.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to what I was saying. You know, many of these people, and I don't know about you, you could be a great guy and you could be a real outlier.
Okay.
You know, but a lot of these people, they try to turn Austin into a mini. A lot of people here are kind of getting a little price out of LA because LA, San Francisco, San Diego, because California is pretty...
It's fucking expensive.
It's extremely expensive, and the policies in place in California are not helping helping the situation. So you got a lot of people coming to California because they can't really afford to live the quality of life that they want, and then they move to Austin, and they, instead of just saying, okay, cool, I'm in Austin, great, they try to like recreate their California lifestyle, and because Austin's a little more affordable so far, they try to like, you know, put things in place so that they can live their high society California lifestyle that they couldn't really do in California. Yeah. And anyway, that's kind of that's really the long and short of it. But anyway, it's okay because while we're getting rid of them, we have special relocation facilities that we are going to send the Californians to. And
where are they going
to
be located?
Rest assured, we're determining an exact location, but rest assured, these are... intermittent relocation facilities are going to have high-rise condos, dog parks. There's going to be a CrossFit gym.
Yoga? Goat yoga?
There will definitely be goat yoga.
They're better,
yes, goat yoga is actually not a bad idea. We could definitely give you guys some goat yoga.
Yeah, I would like goat yoga.
Yeah, goat yoga.
If we had kombucha on tap, goat yoga, and, they're better be kale salad or at least kale chips.
We're going to give you a Trader Joe's, actually. There'll be a Trader Joe's.
That's fine.
In the compound.
That's fine.
Trader Joe's. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be able to take Uber wherever you want.
Okay.
You know, as long as you're in the compound, of course.
Within the compound.
Yeah, so you can take Uber within the compound.
Okay.
All the food is going to be vegan and gluten-free. And
sure.
All of the bathrooms are going to be gender neutral. So
perfect.
You know, nobody loves the Californians more than me. Let's make that clear.
So like, where do you... I want one of those t-shirts, by the way.
I actually have t-shirts.
Did you bring one?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. We'll have to take a picture of that.
We will definitely take a picture in the shirt. Yes.
All right. So the Californians are gone. Okay. So you're in office. You get rid of the Californians. And then you get rid of Lyft and Uber.
Well, you know, if Uber and Lyft agree to fingerprint their drivers and apply by the same rules that every other transportation company wants to abide by, then they're welcome to stay. But, I doubt that they're willing to
that is
abide
weird.
By those rules.
I drove for Ride Austin last year when I first moved here for like 4 months while I was looking for a job.
I
got background checked.
Which is what you should do.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me either.
I agree because, A, look,
you're getting in a fucking car with a stranger.
Well, you're getting in a car with a stranger, and like a company like Uber and Lyft doing their own background check is like, you know, a police department, you know, investigating a shooting of a corrupt officer. It's like,
which,
we're going to do
which is what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or like the Federal Reserve auditing itself.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, oh, nothing wrong here.
Yeah, yeah. It's just preposterous. Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing too. And another problem with Uber and Lyft not fingerprinting their drivers is it makes it too easy to become an Uber driver and a Lyft driver. And it becomes like getting a participation trophy in life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have like, you know, an increased supply and demand ratio, and the supply is greatly exceeding the demand, the drivers don't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody makes any money. It becomes almost like communism. Like, it becomes a plantation company.
Yeah.
So that's what I think the problem is. I think that if Uber and Lyft fingerprinted their drivers, it would be better for the drivers. Because the ones who do get fingerprinted and actually pass the background check are going to make a lot more money on the road.
And they'd be the ones that are committed to actually giving a good experience. They're better drivers, all that kind of stuff.
Fact. And also, they need to do something about curbing the number of rideshare drivers in total that are allowed on this to operate in Austin.
At one time?
Yeah. Because A, it'll 100% reduce traffic. Because there's a large amount of drivers in the road contributing to our traffic problems who are rideshare drivers. And if you like go downtown, it's probably over 80% of the cars in the road are Uber and Lyft drivers.
Yeah, it's a definite problem that a lot of cities are going to have to deal with too, especially with scooters coming in.
It's fucking
sketchy downtown. It really is.
That's another problem.
In a lot of cities, it's sketchy now. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, they need to put breathalyzers on the scooters.
They need to do something. Because and
They go 15 miles an hour.
They go fucking fast. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, you know, a big argument for why Uber and Lyft are back is the reduction in drunk driving, which, although there may be less drunk driving arrests, you don't really know if there's a reduction in drunk driving, because if you have the Uber and Lyft sticker on your car on a Friday, Saturday night, you're probably less likely to be pulled over because the cop will just assume you're a rideshare driver.
Yeah.
So there's that factor 100% comes into play. Hmm. But when you have the scooters and nobody's enforcing the traffic laws that the scooters have to obey and follow, because they've never seen anybody get a ticket or anything happen on the scooter. And they've been around for a while. And I work downtown. I've never seen a cop pull over anybody on a scooter. And a lot of these guys are fucking wasted out of their minds driving scooters, which, you know, if I weren't a pedicabber and I wasn't, you know, about to be an esteemed politician, I would probably do that too, because that looks like a lot of fun. So I'm not the only person who feels that way. They need to address this, because like there's a huge, like very like scary increase in these types of accidents, and it's only going to get worse if it doesn't get addressed. So they need to put breathalyzers on the scooters so that the scooters can serve their purpose, which is to reduce traffic and provide an environmentally clean way of people going from point A to point B within downtown.
Have you ever heard of Edward Abbey, the author? He wrote a book called Desert Solitaire. No. He talked in there about how all the national parks, and I'll bring it back to the cities, don't worry. He talks about how all the national parks, he thinks that they should have a parking lot like miles away, and then you either have to bike or walk or like find your own way to actually get into the national parks instead of bringing the cars like up into the fucking like top of the Grand Canyon. You know, he's like, fuck that. You can't enjoy it. Like, put the cars out there, and if you want to walk in, you can do it. So I always thought about that for cities. Like, why don't they just shut down the inner 10 blocks at least? Make it all, you can walk, you can bike, you can scooter, but there's no fucking cars
that's
allowed.
Something that me and one of my pedicab friends were talking about, that like just a car-free downtown.
Car-free, yeah.
I think it'd be tough to implement, but... I think that would be a really good idea within downtown on like Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think on like a regular week, on a regular weekday, that's not that big of a deal.
Hmm.
Because it's not like super crazy traffic like on the middle of the week, right?
True,
like, that's not
true.
That big. I don't think we need to do that in the middle of the week, and people do have to go to work, and you don't want to mess with people like actually going to work. But like downtown on the weekend, nobody's going to work downtown on the week, and they're going to get drunk. So it's probably actually a good thing to help reduce drunk driving and help people like sober up a little bit to get to their cars or get to their Ubers if they have to walk a little bit. And it'll help with the local economy. Taxi drivers will be able to make a good living again. Pedicab driver, it'll help out the pedicab community. It'll help out the electric golf carts. It'll allow people to like be able to independently sustain themselves and, you know, have a healthy work-life balance. And also it'll help facilitate the creative community, because there's a lot of pedicab drivers who are like really talented artists, really talented musicians. There are other athletes in the pedicab community. And, you know, if you have a better means of earning a living and you could, you know, you can make a good living having to work less, you're going to be able to spend more time focusing on, you know, the dream that you want to focus on. And that creates better art, it creates better music, it creates better athletes, it creates happier, more well-adjusted individuals. And there's no reason why that can't be done while having a positive economic effect in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally no reason, right? But that being said, a car free downtown is probably something that's not going to happen for the next couple of years. No. But we could take little baby steps to go there, because you can't just jump from point A to point F, right? You got to like go from A to B to C, like, you know, everything is one step at a time. Like, you don't, like in jiu-jitsu, you don't all of a sudden like roll for 6 months and expect to get a black belt. Like, it doesn't work that way. You got to take steps. You know what I mean? So like, I think the first step we could do, have Uber and Lyft fingerprint their drivers. Second step that we could do is, you know, limit the number of rideshare drivers operating on the road at a given time, right? Third step that we could do is on the weekends, make it so that if you pick up within it downtown, you have to drive at least 2 to 3 miles before you drop somebody off. Because the big reason why we have this crazy traffic problem downtown is because people are taking Ubers from like 6th Street to Rainy Street, or like, you know, Rainy Street to the W. And you don't need an Uber to go from Rainy Street to the W. That's not what Uber is for. Uber is to get you home safely so you don't drink and drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you shouldn't be driving your car from 6th Street to the W.
Which is like a mile or half mile or something.
Yeah. So I think that these are all very like reasonable things that we can do. I think that when I talked about this, I was at the Asian American Resource Center. I gave a candidate form, and everyone was talking about, you know, how are you going to reduce traffic? And everybody's talking about, we need to build a mono, we need to build a light rail, and we need to build all these, you know, train systems and whatnot, right? And we should, right? I mean, it's obviously a good idea, but that doesn't happen overnight, man. Like, that takes time. That costs a lot of money. And there are things that we could do to help make traffic better while we build the train station, or, you know, while we wait on voter approval to build a train station. There are like common sense solutions that you can have, like carpool lanes. You know, three or more vehicles, you can't be in the left lane unless you have three or more people in your car.
Yeah, they don't have any of those in Texas, do they?
It doesn't make sense. Well, like, they may have it in, yeah, they may. Yeah,
you know where they have them? They do. You know where they have them all over the place.
Let's not talk.
You know where.
Well, let's get back to the issue at hand. Carpool lanes, but traffic in California is even worse. But, carpool lanes are not a bad idea, right? It encourages less people to drive their cars.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage carpooling. I think that there's a lot of traffic lights in the city that don't work properly. I think we need to fix the traffic lights to help increase the flow of traffic. So I think there's a lot of things that we could do to fix this. I think that the way the Metro Rapids run, they don't run appropriately. You know what I mean? Like, they run pretty quickly in Central Austin, but you could like ride your bike in Central Austin. You know what I mean? Like, they should have quick responding Metro Rapids like in Southeast Austin by like Dove Springs, or like far west or far northeast, or by Decker Lake, you know? Because the people that live out there, not necessarily far west, but the people who live by Decker Lake and the people who live like by Dove Springs, they're the people kind of getting pushed out of Austin. They're like, you know, the poor and black and Hispanic families that are being pushed to the outskirts of the city, and a lot of these people can't really afford a car, right? And this will help people get to work and be contributing members here in Austin without having to rely on a car and a vehicle. And you know, when you talk about affordability and sustainability and in inclusive Austin, well, wouldn't it make more sense to just have like public transportation available in those regions at a more ready pace? They're also trying to talk about moving the courthouse from like downtown to like by like East Rivers, by like Metro Center and Riverside near 71. And there's like no public transportation out there, that there's no like reliable public transportation out there. And a lot of people who go to traffic court, I'm like, in downtown, a lot of these people are like homeless, or they're like transient, or they're like super impoverished. And a lot of these people don't have a car, and they rely on taking the bus to transportation. So you're going to have like, if you move the courthouse, you're going to have a lot of people missing court. Because people are not going to be able to get to court. And so these are just like common sense logistical things that should be addressed like that, like super quickly, but they're not being addressed. So these issues need to get brought up, you know?
And what about, tell me about the flamethrowers.
I'm very glad you brought that up, Alex.
There's no way that we were going to talk and I'm not going to bring up the flamethrowers, baby.
All right, hey, I hear what you're saying. And as you're well aware, police shootings are at an all-time high and bordering on epidemic proportions. And that's why when I get elected, we're taking guns away from the police. And we are replacing them with flamethrowers. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Some people might not really understand where I'm coming from with my ultra-progressive stance on this issue. But I'm going to explain this, all right? And I think that all police officers need to train a combat sport 3 to 5 times a week while they are employed. At the very least, they need to do it for their first 10 years in the job, provided that they're under the age of 30, or 30 or under, right? And even if they're older, it should still be strongly encouraged that you do some jujitsu. Because A, jujitsu releases endorphins. B, it teaches you how to maintain your composure under pressure. C, it humbles you, because not only do you get to beat people up, but you also get beat up by people who are a lot smaller than you and a lot less athletic than you are. And D, you learn how to actually subdue an opponent without having to use deadly force. That being said, if you have the discipline to do jiu-jitsu 3 to 5 times a week over a prolonged period of time, guess what? I trust you with the flamethrower.
Okay, so that's the dose right there. That's the prescription, is jiu-jitsu plus flamethrower.
Yes. Also, there's another reason why too, you know, and I think that it could help. This will help identify dubious and suspicious looking individuals, because if you walk down Rainy Street, walk around 6th Street, walk around anywhere in Austin, you see a extra crispy looking individual, well, there's a good chance that he's trouble.
Extra crispy?
Yes.
Okay, got it. There's a good chance he's trouble. All right, so we got the cops with flamethrowers and practicing jiu-jitsu. And that's just within Austin city limits.
Well, that's where I'm going to be the mayor of. Not the mayor of Round Rock.
Right, got it. Okay. So what other things are you... what are like the main things besides the dome, besides the flamethrower? What are some other big things that you want to make changes with?
Well, we talked about Uber and Lyft and our transportation system.
Yeah.
We talked about putting breathalyzers on the Lime scooters.
Right.
And even those electric bikes that go up to 20 miles an hour. You shouldn't be drunk operating a vehicle that goes over 20 miles an hour. We talked about the carpool lanes, fixing the traffic lights. We talked about a better land code that the people should have a say and vote on. No tax breaks for large California companies unless they have a history of actually taking care of their workers, right? You know, like if you have a history of like providing paid sick leave, or a history of, you know, paying your workers well and creating jobs within the city that you are moving to and not just bringing jobs from other parts of the country, then sure, we can work something out, but there's got to be something that you're willing to contribute. So I think that there's that. There'd be no negotiations with Jeff Bezos, that's for sure. Let's see what else.
That'd be cool to be able to talk to him.
I mean, he can talk to my secretary, because there's no way he's coming here under my mayorship.
Have you seen the pictures of him like back in the day versus now?
He's yoked.
You seen those memes of him?
He's yoked.
Where before it's like, oh, we sell books. And then it shows a picture of him now yoked. And it's like, I sell fucking everything. He's just like this massive guy now.
He's like Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. He's Lex Luthor, man. He's a supervillain.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He is. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So what about, I saw a video of you walking into City Hall with your belt on, and didn't like you put your arms up and stuff like that?
I don't need to put my arms up. All I got that belt says enough.
This belt right here that you have on,
the mayor belt, yes.
Right. So can you describe it to people who can't see?
Well, as a result of being ahead in the polls, and very likely the next mayor of Austin, I decided to make a statement to show that I'm going to be a strong leader who stands up for the people and fights the social injustices. And so that's why I purchased a championship belt, because that's what I plan on winning is the mayor election, and that belt says mayor.
That video's badass, dude. When you walk in there, is that when you like to put your name on the ballot? What
were
you doing?
Well, yeah. So they put me on the ballot. They were doing the ballot drawing, and they called me to sign you know, say that I...
Oh, that's what it was for. Okay.
Abide by XYZ. And so, yeah, that's what it was for. I go into City Hall, sign my name. I'm officially on the ballot to be mayor of Austin.
And so what did they, like, what were they saying to you when you walked in there? Anybody say shit to you or... What were they, how were they looking at you?
Not really. I mean, you know, the establishment doesn't like a true revolutionary. We'll put it to you that way.
I love that. What about your family and your friends and shit? What do they say?
Well, my family and friends are very supportive about my progressive campaign.
So, like, what kind of, like, do they ask you a lot of questions? Like, what do they...
Well, they just want to see the dome get built.
Oh, if we're taking out Californians, I feel like New Yorkers got to come with them, too.
You know, not all transplants are created equal. Okay. We're going to leave it at that.
What about NorCal versus SoCal? Are we going to do some type of like, I feel like Northern Californians, that's me, right? I feel like we could take some type of California test or something, right? To be like, oh, you're the chill Californians. And we're trying to become our own state in Northern California anyway.
Which I think is...
What do you think? Let's draw a line like north of Bakersfield. We get to stay.
You know, Alex, we're still working. We're still working out the parameters, and I want to
make an agreement.
I really appreciate the input from concerned voters such as yourself. You are registered to vote, right?
I think so. I don't know. Do you know what? I think I'm about a year and a half behind getting my... I don't have my Texas driver's license.
You need to get that.
I think it was like 30 days I was supposed to get it.
You should get your Texas driver's license. I believe you can register at the DPS and the tax office while you do that.
I think you can register to vote even without the license, though, can't you? Can't you just say, like, I now live in Texas, or do you have to have the license?
I believe you need a license, but I'm not 110% of that. But I will be taking a class September 4th to register people to vote by myself. So if you ever want to send me a message, I will be happy to personally come to your house. We can have a beer or two, and I will register you to vote so that you can make the right choices for our great city.
When is that? September 4th?
Yeah, that's when I'm taking the class.
You're taking the class?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this way, I could bring out the little the paperwork and the little form. We fill it out, and then I bring it to the tax office. You don't have to do anything.
Yes.
Just write a little pay. Yeah.
What day is that? September 4th is what? Like a Tuesday or Monday?
I don't know, man. That's a little way...
No, it's not. It's like in a week.
It's a couple weeks.
It's literally in 8 days. Let's see here. We're going to look this up.
It's about a week, actually. Yes, you're right.
It's next Tuesday.
So it's a week and a day. Okay. A little over a week. It's actually the day after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Nothing more American than registering people to vote.
That's a fact. You should have done it on Memorial Day.
Huh?
You should have done it on Memorial Day.
Well, the class is on the 4th.
Yeah.
Also, you mean Labor Day.
No, I'm saying that in a perfect world, you would be doing it on Memorial Day or the 4th of July.
Agreed, but...
you know, but we gotta...
It's still okay. You know, you can't strive for perfection in this world.
Progress, not perfection.
Progress, not perfection, exactly. I think that the big reason why we have such like an outrage culture and a culture perpetuated on people's on anxiety and depression and whatnot, and, you know, obviously these chemical issues definitely exist, but I think that people try to meet unrealistic standards of perfection, and then when you're... real self doesn't measure up to your ideal self, you get depressed. And I think that
the
key to being like happy and emotionally, I guess, well and well adjusted is to set realistic expectations for what you want to do and just focus on one thing at a time.
100%. Yeah, because once you start to get to that point where your actions are trying to reflect this like hero in your brain that you're never going to be, and yet you constantly think that you should.
Yeah, and then you wind up feeling like depressed and paralyzed, and then you wind up doing nothing, and your life is a waste. So I think one of the real key components towards being happy is to realize that you're not special.
100%.
And just be like okay with the fact that you suck. And like that's a big thing I learned from jiu-jitsu too, is that you go and you train with a bunch of badasses, right? And you get your ass kicked and you're like, damn, I suck at this, but I suck a little less than I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's important for people to do that, no matter how you find it. I think jiu-jitsu is probably one of the most primal ways to find it and quickest, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But man, you better find that somewhere in sports, in
anything, yeah.
Any type of activity or task, yeah. You need to constantly be beat and then constantly get better.
It's true, because I think real confidence is being able to be okay with sucking and just be comfortable with it. Just be like, well, I suck at this. What are you going to do?
I know, because
I'm gonna do my best to get better, but there's a chance like I'm still might not be that good at it, but I'm still gonna try. All you can control in life is whether or not you try to do what you want to do.
Yeah,
because you can't control the outcome of anything. You know, like I mean that's the little motivational mayor quote right here. Mayor motivation
on Monday. Monday motivational mayor.
Mayor motivation. No. Mayoral motivation Monday.
There we go. Yeah.
Mayoral motivation. The little mayoral motivation Monday quote is that you know, you have no control over the result of your actions. The only thing you have control over is the action itself.
Yeah, and it's like when you start to think that. There's some quote or something, but I always like to think of like thinking that you are 100% special, and the fact that like there is no other Alex Starr or Alex Stringer.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a fact, but on the flip side, of that, it's like you're absolutely nothing. There's this great quote that's like, love is knowing you are everything, and wisdom is knowing that you are nothing. And between the two, your life moves. And it's like that. Like, you need to know that you're fucking special and unique and you are a snowflake and all that bullshit. And you also need to know that you're fucking, like, the lowest of low. You're absolutely a speck of dust and nothing. And you mean nothing.
So you're the thing is, and to bring that point up, is you're special to, you should be special to yourself and special to the people who care about you.
Mm.
But you are nothing in comparison to the actual universe.
Mm, exactly.
You know what I mean? And people who don't know you. Like, if you see some random guy walking down the street, do you give a shit about him?
No.
Yeah, and you shouldn't, right? Because, you know, it doesn't matter.
Cities do that too. Cities will do that too. Where, like, if you're in a smaller, if you're like in a group of 100 people, you start to care about them. When you get in the city atmosphere, you literally can't. Like, you
because
literally
there's
can't.
Too much
care. There's too many people.
There's too much stuff.
Yeah, and there's too many people. You literally cannot, like, give away.
I mean, I probably should explain what I said a little bit. If, you know, as a future city official, of course you should care about like addressing people's needs.
No,
but
we
in
know
terms
what
of
mean.
Like caring about somebody as an individual, like if you see somebody that you don't know or have any relationship to, it's a lot harder to like really feel like a connection.
Yeah.
With you can't connect with everybody. You know,
you can't give that away all day. If you walk around a city, you see fucking 500 people.
Can't do it. Yeah. But anyway, here's the problem with this encouragement of density in cities is it's perpetuating mental illness, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how good do you feel if you go like hiking in nature, right? Like going hiking in nature, going fishing or even hunting or doing anything, or even driving to like a small town where there's like,
or sitting on a bench at a park where it's just quiet and there's nobody there.
Like how good do you feel being in open space? Like, you know, when you go to open space, you go camping, like your head feels clear after a couple days. And it's not an accident, you know? And if you're pushing everybody to live congested and compact, like right next to each other, that's how you create like mental illness. Like you lose that. You know, like being in touch with nature is like a big component towards like being happy and well-adjusted. And when you like take that away from people, you create a society of misery. I mean, that's really, there's no, I mean, I probably could put it a little better, phrase it more eloquently, but like, I think that's as good of a way to put it as you really can, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are, I think, contribute to people's depression and malaise, I guess, for lack of a better word. And that's for sure one of them. Because if you think about it, a lot of people, they go to their job that they probably don't even really enjoy that much. That's inside, air conditioned. They're staring at a screen all day. Then you come home, you eat some type of food that is going to be processed carbs, or maybe you have a couple beers, so you're going to have some poison, you're going to have some alcohol, and then you're going to relax by distracting yourself with more fucking screens, watching a TV show. And it's all good, like none of that stuff is inherently bad, but it's like at the end of the week, you didn't spend that much time with friends, you consumed a lot of things that like constructed your vision of reality, and you weren't outside, you weren't like in nature, and you didn't have any solitude or quiet.
Yeah, also, I mean, back to the processed food, a lot of people don't eat real meat.
It's all just like crappy.
Yeah, and I think that like you absorb energy of what you put in your body.
For sure.
You know, not just sound like a total hippie, but like that's
really sound like California right now, dude.
Well, it's a fact. Like let's not clump into a group of people there, Alex, but like let's explain this. Like you do absorb the energies of who you surround yourself with, and
sure,
what you consume, right? And like even when it comes to like who you have sex with and sleep with, right? Like if you fuck a bunch of dirty bitches like constantly, you're gonna have their energy is gonna be your energy, and you're gonna feel bad and angry and like upset about a lot of things, and you're not gonna have like a good way about you, you know? And like If you eat a cow that's been in like a factory farm, you know, if you eat a cow that's like been factory farmed, clumped together with other cows, not able to move, no mobility, being fed, you know, steroids and grain and Monsanto mystery stuff and whatever, and it's rolling around in its own feces and all, you know, all that's like, not to be super graphic, like that's not a happy cow, and you're going to absorb its energy. And you know, whereas if you eat like a free range bison that's been, you know, roaming around, you know, eating plants and hunting and killing other animals, like, you're going to absorb a killer. You know what I mean? Or if you eat a cow that's like free range, or a chicken that's free range, eating what it wants, doing what it wants, hanging out with its buddies, you're absorbing like that chicken's power. So I really believe that's a big reason why people are so like miserable, because they're absorbing the energy of, they're just constantly consuming themselves with bad energy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
And that permeates too. Like when I was a substitute teacher, like the food that they feed these kids in AISD is awful.
Like what was it?
Fucking garbage.
I remember what we had when we were kids. How old are you?
32.
Okay, I'm 29. It was like the shit. I remember like on styrofoam and it being those like rectangular pizzas, you know, with like applesauce. And then it was like those like real mushy, must have been like microwavable pizzas, you know, and like mac and cheese. It was just crap. It was crap on crap on crap. There was nothing beneficial.
It's garbage.
It was complete garbage.
It's total garbage.
And then everyone's got ADD.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you know,
it's like, well, no shit, you have ADD.
You're feeding
like,
people not, you're feeding people shit. Yeah.
Spiking insulin levels the entire day. You're just running off of carbs.
It's really bad. And I think what I would support, I would try to create some kind of amendment, and hopefully it would gain some support, and it would just be to feed real food to our school children, like feed actual, like, you know, farm, you know, like farm fresh, like from JBG Gardens, vegetables, and you know, and Fredericksburg peaches that are like grown in a wholesome manner to our school children. Like, and I don't mind paying taxes for that. That's an investment in our future.
Yeah, the question is whether you convince everyone else to.
Well, it's something that I would propose. Right. I think that's a huge deal, because today's school children are tomorrow's businessmen. They're tomorrow's leaders. They're tomorrow's like doctors. They're tomorrow's lawyers. They're tomorrow's soldiers. You know, you have there's a problem in the Marines where people can't even pass the physical fitness test anymore to get in. How do you become a world power when the future of America can't do a pull-up?
Yeah.
I mean, these issues need to be addressed.
Yeah.
100%. And I have absolutely no problems like crafting an amendment or even starting some kind of fund to help give real food to a lot of kids in AISD. And especially a lot of these kids, like, they come from poverty and they can't afford to go to Central Market.
And the shit food is cheap food.
Yeah, they can't afford to go to Central Market. You want to level up the playing field, give these kids some real food, it'll help.
Yeah, it's amazing the effect that it has on your mood, right? Like, if you ever go through days or a week where you're eating kind of shitty, you know, and then you have a week where you're really on point, you're eating a lot of vegetables, probably before your boxing matches and stuff.
Yeah.
You're really watching your diet, and it's amazing the clarity you get.
I have ADHD.
Your mood changes.
I have ADHD myself, and eating a mostly organic, free-range diet where I put good food in my system, taking Alpha Brain, Aubrey Marcus, hook it up a little.
I was supposed to go to his house the day. Do you see he got in a car accident?
Yo, I saw that.
I was supposed to go to his house that day for like my buddy's birthday party. I was supposed to be there, and he got in a car accident that morning.
I know, I saw that. That's fucking nuts.
I couldn't believe it, man. He has like nerve damage and stuff. I'm glad he's all right.
But he's okay, man. You know,
yeah, he's okay. I love that guy.
I had a friend of mine who was like some kind of dune buggy accident. I'm not 100% sure what the details are, but he was a pro fighter. And he had to get his arm amputated.
Fuck.
Like, fucking crazy.
Dune buggies are sketch.
I've never been on one, but buggies
are sketchy. I know a lot of people have like rolled them and broken arms and shit.
Yeah. Anyway, man, I think the point of that is really nothing's guaranteed, and you really got to be happy with what you have in life, because there's a lot of things could definitely be a lot worse. Like whenever you feel down or upset about whatever you think it is you're going through, there are a lot of people who have it a lot worse and wish that they had your problems.
So how do you deal with it? So like, tell me like what you do. So if you get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm feeling bummed, I'm feeling sad, right? It doesn't always work to just be like, well, other people would want to be me. Like, I should be grateful. Do you think you should like process that emotion first, right? Because feelings are relative. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yeah, like, you should definitely. I think everyone's feelings definitely count, and people should be sensitive to your feelings. And just because you had a bad day and it's, you know, your problems are not the same compared to somebody else's. People should still listen to your problems. I think that people not listening to and, you know, kind of like discouraging your problems and pushing those problems to the side is a big reason why there's like a lot of anger and disenfranchisement here, you know, in this country and in Austin and whatever it is. But, man, I think that, you know, after you take the moment to process what you're going through, you need to get an understanding of who you are as an individual, right? And if you feel better after you work out and you know, like, oh shit, I'm starting to really like get down on myself, I'm starting to feel overwhelmed, I'm starting to feel stressed, you as a grown adult should know what you need to do to de-stress yourself in a healthy manner. So I take a lot of days where I like will like go to like Bash Up and fish for like a couple hours, you know what I mean? Or if I'm feeling like stressed and overwhelmed, I go to jiu-jitsu. Like I was, man, these past couple of weeks were super stressful with just me getting on the ballot. You know, I went to Jacob's Well on Thursday. Spent the day in Wimberley. I went and like ate lunch at like some cafe out in Wimberley, and then I just hung out in San Marcos for a little bit. You know what I mean? And like I went to jiu-jitsu the next day, and then Saturday I took like a 5-hour nap before I went to pedicab. Before I did the podcast with you, I went and did jiu-jitsu for like an hour and a half. So I think you got to know.
I took a nap, yeah.
Yeah, you have to know your body and know why you're feeling a certain way, and you got to address things preemptively before they overwhelm you. So I think that's, I guess, a good step to take.
For sure, yeah. Before they accumulate. Because yeah, then what happens is then they fester.
Yeah, and then it becomes even harder and harder to do that, and you fall into a spiral. It's a lot easier to perpetuate something bad than it is to perpetuate something good.
Yeah,
so you got to really work hard to like...
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. That's what I always thought. That's like one of the interesting quirks of... human brain, or like the way that we operate. I don't know if it's aided by society and by our culture, where it's like a negative spiral is easier than a positive spiral.
Well, I mean, look, it's a lot easier to do nothing than to do something.
Sure. So why is it easier to be negative than positive?
Because when you do why is it easier to be negative than to be positive?
Yeah.
Because that's how the body works. When you do things that are hard for you, you release endorphins and you release chemicals in your body that promote that put you in like a happy, well-adjusted frame of mind. Whereas if you sit around drinking craft beer all day, you know, you're putting poison in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to, you know, sit around watching TV all day, drinking craft beer and going bar hopping and whatnot than it is to actually put yourself out of a comfort zone.
The negative like mindset is just an easier path to
take. It's a way easier path to follow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, I agree. Like, are you a runner?
Yeah, I run, yeah.
How do you feel after you run like 3 miles?
Yeah, or if I do sprints or anything. You feel fantastic, man.
Like afterwards, exercise. How do you feel during the run?
That depends, man. Sometimes I feel good, but I'd say the hardest part is getting yourself to start.
Yes, yeah.
Once you're doing it, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, so...
It's that initial activation energy.
When I was training for my fight, we had sparring sessions on every Tuesday, right? Every Tuesday and Thursday, we had sparring sessions. And the sparring sessions we had at Eastside Elite when I was there were, like, the worst because we would beat the shit out of each other. We would fuck each other up. And I never... I hated it. Like, I was like, oh, fuck, got sparring today. Shit. I'd just be like dreading it the entire day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would even spend my weeks, I'm like, you better do your conditioning because Tuesdays are going to suck. And if they're going to suck a lot more if you're not in shape.
Yeah. And you're actually going to get your ass beat if you're not in shape.
Yeah.
Or at least worse.
Yeah. Exactly. At least you could take it when you're in shape better and you could, you know, fight back and kick some ass as well. But if you're out of shape, and you can also get hurt too, right? But like, anyway, after sparring was over, I always felt really good and happy and clear-headed. And I was like, whew, don't have to do that for another week, right? Don't have to do that for another couple days.
And then it comes back, yeah.
Yeah, but either way, what I'm trying to say is I would feel a lot like, you know, whatever problems I had no longer bothered me anymore because, like, you're in a... Well, it's also meditative. When you do something, like... So here's another thing, too, right? And here's another reason I think why... doing stuff out of your comfort zone and doing things that suck is really good for being emotionally happy. And it's because it's kind of meditative. Like when you like are really focused on one thing, right? You can't think about the other problems that you have.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like when you're like trying to do like hill sprints or doing some kind of crazy conditioning workout or you're, you know, in a sparring session or you're rolling with somebody, like the only thing that you're thinking about is like getting through what you need to get through. And so all the other problems are no longer there. So you literally get to take a break from all the problems that you have.
Yeah, and I think that's what like comes from, that's the key, man. That's what comes from seeing the way other people live. So you feel like grateful for that because you see like, wait, my problems aren't like actual real problems. And then through working out, you can also get in the zone and get those problems out of your head. Really what it comes down to is you being able to just like get out of your own head.
100%.
Instead of being in the vortex of your own mind, you have to have those moments of like clarity where it's like, oh fuck. Like, those things, they don't matter. They're just stuck in my head, rattling around. It really doesn't matter.
Right?
They're just rattling there.
When you have to, when you're worried about getting choked in jiu-jitsu, I'm not going to be thinking about North Korea. Like,
I did a, God, our North Korea, the political climate of North Korea is just really great right now.
Yeah, you're just not thinking about it. You're like, well, this, what's going on in North Korea has really no effect on me. I'm just trying not to get choked.
Yeah. I did a half Ironman in Vancouver like 3 weeks ago. It was the same way, man. Like when I was on the bike and I'm on mile 40 and it was sucking, my main issue, my only issue was that my legs hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like, keep pedaling. You know, and then I was running, it was like, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You're right. You're not thinking about like, oh, I got to do that laundry. When am I going to be able to pay rent? Like, I got to do that laundry when I get home. Like, nothing. None of that stuff.
Yeah.
You're just like, keep moving your legs.
And then once everything's clear for those few hours, right, or for that whole day, yeah, you're like, all right, I can do this, I can do that. And you wind up being able to make the steps to that you need to get X, Y, and Z done.
Yeah, exactly.
That, that's a big thing, you know?
Yeah, like de-jumbles your mind. Is that the correct word?
Yeah.
Jumble?
Yeah, de-jumble. Sure. Yeah.
De-jumble. Well, cool, man. This has been a shitload of fun.
This has been a blast. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Any final words?
You know, I would like to say thank you for having me on the show, and it was a real pleasure to be here. And I'm sorry that you're gonna have to leave the Stranger Dome when I get elected, but I still think you're a great guy, and you're gonna really enjoy your relocation facility.
But we're gonna talk about that, right? Like, I might be able to go to the let's make it like an intermediary one or something, like the NorCal ones. We'll talk.
I'm open to suggestion. This is why I'm going to be a great public servant, because true, I'm the only candidate who really listens to the people.
We'll cut it there, dude.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Cool.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I have a podcast coming up with my buddy Lay, transgender, and we go into the depths of sexual things and how dating works and a bunch of stuff that we didn't cover on the first one. So I'm going to have that podcast coming out, as well as my buddy Michael, who has been living on a refurbished bus, school bus, for the past, I think, 2 years. He can do it off the grid and everything like that. So that was cool. That was like 6 months in the making. So yeah, some cool stuff coming out. Have a happy Halloween. I almost made it through the intro and the outro without entirely fucking something up. So enjoy the Halloween, enjoy the fall, and you know where to reach me. I'm on Instagram, Alex H. Starr. Would love to catch up with you guys there. It's where I do most of my content posting. So much love. See you soon.